Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 404, Comics.
Short, sweet, and hard to beat.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're back with you again for a second episode, 2 weeks in a row. How about that? To talk to you about comic books. We got a bunch of comics we want to talk to you about tonight that we think you'll like and you'll enjoy. So sit back and you're in store for a really good show tonight. And we think we got some content on hand that you're going to like. If you go back last week, you'll be sure to notice that we didn't do a regular comic book episode last week. We touched on comic books a little bit, but we mostly talked about movies. We talked about Justice League. I got Justice League, the comic book, on my brain. Sorry. We talked about Aquaman, the movie, and we talked about Into the Spider-Verse. And two movies that we enjoyed for the most part. We enjoyed one a lot, enjoyed the other. I enjoyed it some. Charlie enjoyed it a lot. So a lot of love to be had for those movies, and that was on last episode. So go back and listen to that if you've missed that. You may have missed it because that was our first show back in a while. Shoot, we've been gone a long time. But now we were able to produce two episodes in the same two-week span. I mean, that's amazing. So this is the next salvo in that. And then after this, maybe later this week, first part of next week, we're going to have a Bumblebee movie review. So if you got a chance to see Bumblebee, the new Transformer installment, then you want to sit back and listen to our, talk about that and see what we liked and what we didn't like. And then after that, we're taking a long break because old John's got to go get his innards cut out. So I'll be down for 2, 3, 4 weeks, just up in the air. We don't know. So we'll be back when we'll be back. But we wanted to give you another good week's worth of content here. So we got a comic book show tonight, and then we got a Bumblebee review later on. So we don't want to waste a lot of time. We got a lot of things to do. Anything that you want to get out of the way, Charlie, before we start?
Nope.
All right, so we'll be back in just a moment. And with our first comic of the night, you guys sit tight.
I didn't know this town had so many sluts.
10-6-9-er, we got whores in the city. We need backup now.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. Now, we want to hear from you about what you think of the show, what you like, what you don't like. What are you reading? What are we not talking about that you would like for us to know about or that you think we should mention on the air? Whatever messages you'll send to us, we will respond to those on the air. So you can email us at aldenrealitypodcast@gmail.com, or you can record an audio message and send to that email address, and we'll play it and respond to it on the air. So we look forward to doing that to you. Alternate Reality, doing that for you, with you, not to you. aldenrealitypodcast@gmail.com. All right, Charlie. You had our first selection of the week, Batman Kings of Fear, number 6. What'd you think of that?
I really like this book in general. And it kind of turned out to what we thought it was going to be, but it was a little different, the ending was.
Uh-huh.
Because you'd think, like, during the whole thing that, like, Batman would see all these weird hallucinations and, like, all the scary stuff.
Right.
But what it kind of turns into is, like, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, really?
Where the Scarecrow has been going around saying, you know what? you know, the thing about Gotham is it doesn't really need you. Without Gotham, it's kind of a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And like during the last issue, he goes, well, look at Pamela Isley. She developed this new superfood that's like fed millions of people like that. And he goes throughout this stuff, like saying like Harvey Dent was the one who put away a lot of criminals.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no Batman, and Gotham's like all shiny and new and Joker's off somewhere else or whatever. And he goes, Harley Quinn's like one of the top medical, top mental health doctors in the world. And he goes, and me myself, yes, I've accomplished a lot of things or whatever. But in this issue, Batman has come out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he seriously is questioning himself now after all this, because he, like the hallucinations in what Scarecrow was doing to him, he's really asking himself, well, am I right in what I'm doing?
Or am I just causing problems?
Yeah. So he's really questioning himself at the end of this. And he talks to Alfred, and I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but you know.
Right. Because I've not read it, yeah. And I appreciate that. I read the first three issues. I like, I read the first four issues. I like five and six. Like, no, I like three, four, five, and six. Excuse me. Last three issues.
Yeah.
I just got behind on it. But I enjoyed the first three issues tremendously. So
the art in it's great. I mean, it's not the regular Monk and Jones. Well, yeah, Kelly Jones and Monk writing.
Right.
But it was really good. I really enjoyed it. If it comes hardcover, it'd be a nice little collection for somebody.
For somebody? Hint, hint. Charlie dropping hands.
Well, I've got the issues. Why would I need that?
All right. Moving right along. Justice League number 15? I believe that's what this was.
Yeah. She said.
So, most of this issue, I mean, there's some stuff that happens with Starman on Earth with the Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman trying to fight with him. And there's a good line at the beginning of it because Superman's like, the solar receptors in my skin are bathing in his energy. I feel like I could crack the earth in half with a footstep. And Batman goes, well, don't. And he's kind of out of control. He's lost it, and they're not sure how to get him reined back in. Well, then it transitions to most of the rest of the issue with Martian Manhunter, Hawk Girl, and John Stewart, Green Lantern, on Thanagar Prime. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to get to save the Martian keep, the oldest living Martian, and the person who has the deposit of all the history of the Martian people in their head. And Martian Manhunter, they know, Martian Manhunter knows that they have her there. And he knows that she's being held against her will. And so they are trying to get down there to find out what's going on. Well, long story short, they fight a horrific battle through all kinds of security to get down to this thing. And they finally get down there, and she says, well, I'm going to tell you a horrible secret. None of what you've seen is real. He said, you keep asking, wasn't Katar Hall dead? Yet he's back with his wife, Shaira. How is that possible? He's not. He's still dead. And Thanagar Prime was destroyed in the battle with Onimar Sin. How did they rebuild it so quickly? They didn't. It's still destroyed. Everything that you're seeing is an illusion. That's the big secret. And they said they're guarding something, and it is vitally important that you understand that there was a universe, a multiverse before this one, and its creator is coming back. And it's about that time that it transitions back to Earth, and they finally got Starman under control, and he's come to himself. And he says, I can feel her talking to me. She's in my head. The totality, it connects me to every corner of the universe. I can see your friends now on Thanagar Prime. I can see the source wall. I can feel her eyes on me. Whose eyes? Batman asks. She goes, your friends are about to learn a story that hasn't been told in a billion years, a story that could destroy the universe itself, the story of Perpetua. All right, now, if you flash back to, like, Justice League number 8, Perpetua is this person that the Batman Who Laughs told Luther about.
Yeah.
And Perpetua is the person, one of the people that was encased in the Source Wall, who said that at one time was said to have possessed all eight forces. So you know how we've been experimenting with the different forces in the DC Universe, the Speed Force, the Steel Force, the Strength Force. There's a bunch of them. And she apparently possessed all eight of them at one point. And according to this, it sounds like he's saying that she helped create their current version of the universe and that she's coming back. So I'm like, you know, DC, I had complained just here recently that DC kind of had a mess of its continuity on its hands and they weren't doing anything about it. You just were supposed to accept some things and ignore some things and nobody was addressing it or talking about it. And suddenly, between things like this and Young Justice, which I'll talk about in a minute, they are kind of talking about it and addressing it. Just not the way you would think. You kind of got to, it's not coming out in a big, you know, event. It's happening in the cracks and corners of the DC universe, and you kind of have to know where to look. Because you would think like this, you know, rebirth thing that happened with Martian Manhunter should have answered a bunch of questions, and it didn't. And so all these questions are now finally coming to light in places like this. And I don't know how they wrap this up or if at some point they end up having a big universe-changing event, but we're seeing bits and pieces of it being addressed in the remote corners of the DC Universe in small books that you wouldn't think to look for it. Some of it was addressed in Flash a while back, you know, with Wally coming back and Impulse coming back. Some of it was addressed in, some of it's being kind of addressed in Doomsday Clock. You know, little things like that. But it is like it's weird where you'll find the bits and pieces of it. Some of it was addressed in the Flash Batman crossover, The Button, but not really. They just kind of touched the edge of it.
That's all Bane, right?
I don't know. So I don't know. And so, like I said, we'll talk more about it in just a minute. But it is my assertion that they're not addressing this. Well, apparently is wrong. They are addressing it. You just have to know where to look for it. So I'll talk more about the rest of it in a minute. Charlie, you wanted to talk about Bully Wars number 5.
This is a Scotty Young book about the bully who wanted to win this competition so he could be the head bully at this school, right?
Right, the bully competition.
Well,
every school has that.
Well, they don't. And it's kind of ridiculous because it does take place in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird that they would hold a competition
to see who can be the meanest kid.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the kids in it, they figure out a way they can win the bully war,
mm-hmm.
and like kind of stop it all at the same time, because like the thing is, there's a guy in a mascot costume, right?
Right.
And if you come out with the guy in the mascot costume, why does that sound weird to me? He's a mouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whoever comes out with him wins the contest. Well, the thing is, the little nerdy guy who is the mascot trades place with his bully, and he brings out him, and he wins, so he becomes like the head bully in school.
Right.
Well, he declares the bully wars to be over with, and that's how the book ends. But it's kind of funny because like this is like a really kind of absurd, like silly little 5-issue book. It's written all right. I mean, the art in it's like, I don't know, reminds me of kind of like skateboard artwork or whatever.
Right.
But it was fun. It was 5 issues.
Sweet. Seems like a cool concept. I like it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Really stupid humor in it.
So let's move on to Young Justice number 1. All right. So back in the day, Young Justice was one of my favorite DC books. Man, it was just a lot of fun.
Wonder Comics.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It featured, you know, the younger version of the Justice League. Yeah. What?
I know you don't get like the variant covers, but did you see what they look like?
Yeah, they got them on here.
Did you see the Superboy one?
Yes.
Where it's that reverse.
Yeah, it's that meme.
That meme.
Yeah.
where the girl's looking back at him.
Yeah, instead of the guy looking back, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I got the regular cover.
So back in the day, Young Justice was one of my favorite comic books. And it eventually transitioned into the Teen Titans. And so you followed the same kids right on into Teen Titans. But it was Superboy, Connor Kent, the 90s version of Superboy. And, you know, there was Tim Drake, Robin. There was Bart Allen, Impulse. And then Cassie Sandsmark, Wonder Girl. And Miss Martian and some other.
No, Miss Martian didn't come into way, way
later. Well, way later. She was more of a Teen Titan. There was Mist. It was a girl that could turn into Mist. I think that was her name, or Smoke, or something like that. And they may have been a character or two or other. But there was just, it was a fun romp of a comic. It was just kids getting into trouble and having fun and occasionally beating up bad guys when they ran into them. It was a lot of fun, and it was drawn half-hearted. It wasn't all serious like Justice League. It was comical. It was comedic. It was fun. A lot of energy.
Yeah, Peter David wrote it.
Yeah, well, it makes sense.
It spun out of the events of sins of the youth,
sins of their fathers, or yeah, something.
His sins of youth,
something like that.
Where like Clarion the Witch Boy, like made everyone like switch eight, like they all, like all the adults
were in the kids' body, and
the kids became adults,
right?
So there was like. Aqualad and Aquaboy or whatever instead of Aquaman and Aqualad.
Right. So I didn't know what to think when this book was solicited because it's not under the regular DC imprint. It's under what they call Wonder Comics, which is their youth series imprint, which means this comic is designed and written for younger kids, not five-year-olds. It's not Tiny Titans. But, you know, younger kids.
I was going to say, he cusses in this.
Well, and that's what the imprint is supposed to be for younger people. It's supposed to be for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds instead of 35-year-old men.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I was like, well, I wonder then if that's the case, if it's even in continuity with the rest of DC Comics.
Well, that's what I kind of wondered, too, because when they showed solicits, there was Connor.
Right. And you're well, he doesn't exist in this universe.
Yeah.
And that's weird. So we don't know what's going on. But not just him. It's Tim Drake. Tim Drake has been messed up ever since he met a future version of himself in Batman Detective Comics. He's kind of been off the radar. We don't really know what's going on with him. Cassie Sandsmark's not been doing anything since Rebirth, has she? I haven't heard anything out of her.
Yeah, she was in Teen Titans when it first started.
Was she? Okay, I'll take your word for that. So it's like all these characters have kind of...
They made the big deal when New 52 came out because she was really highly sexualized on the first cover.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I was like, I don't even know if all these characters are on the board. And so now that all these characters are featured in this comic, I have to think this is not in continuity. This is just a what-if kind of story. But it turns out that's not the case. After I did some research, this is very much in continuity. And I was like, oh, well, then maybe I ought to check this out because I want to know how they're bringing Connor Kent back into the universe after he's been gone for so long. So the book opens up with
that, and Impulse was only shown in like an issue of Flash.
Right, one issue. Which, by the way, did you notice at the beginning of this when Impulse was talking, he was like, well, it's a wonder I ran into you guys. I was on my way up to Canada to join Alpha, and he cuts off. This is supposed to be Alpha Flight, which is a Marvel team. I was like, ah, I see what you did there.
I thought that was a Wolverine joke, and I was like, well, why would he say Alpha Flight?
Yeah.
It just seemed odd to me.
So the book opens up in another world called Gem World, which is something that's been done before in the DC Universe. I don't know a whole lot about it. But for whatever reason, they're making plans to invade the Earth. Now, there's a very interesting line here when these characters are talking that if you're not careful, you'll miss it. So he's asking us, do you know how to get to this place called Earth? He said, there is a map, sir, a map that we cannot draw, a map that we simply cannot see. This map, it connects us to Earth. It's how I came to be here. Have you ever heard tell of an Earth crisis? Okay, now they're going to talk a little bit about crises here. It is what they call it when an unnatural event changes the Earth against its natural evolution. And this really got me to... They say the Earth has survived seven of these crises. And every time a crisis happens, to the Earth, everything the Earth touches, it seems affected. 7 times this has happened, and we unknowingly, the entire time, have been pushed alongside Earth. The houses of Gemworld are at their wits' end. Lord Opal of the once flourishing Gemworld courts, please hear me. Okay, so what he's saying is there have been 7 crises. Well, that got me to thinking. 7? What are the 7? So I went back and did a little research. Crisis number 1. Crisis on Infinite Earths, the most famous of all crises. This is the crisis that put an end to the multiverse.
Wouldn't it be Crisis on 2 Earths first?
Well, they're not counting that one.
How do you know?
Because this is backed up by online research, okay?
Oh, everything you read on the internet is true, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this because they define them is an event that changes the world. So Crisis on 2 Earths was not an event that changed the world. It didn't alter the histories or anything like that.
Did it not bring Earth 2 to Earth 1?
It brought them together, but it didn't change anything. They all went back home and everything was fine after that.
Okay.
All right. So Crisis on Infinite Earths is the real original one. Everything gets wiped. All the other universes except one version of Earth where all these characters are supposed to exist together. But certain other characters that had long been established DC characters in other Earth settings suddenly disappeared. They weren't there anymore. All right, but they made a mess of certain parts of that, and the history of it was all goofed up.
Next one.
Right, the next one is Zero Hour, which was supposed to fix things like Legion of Superheroes and some other stories, the Hawkman new stories and stuff that were all conflicted.
That's why when they got rid of the JSA, because they were too old.
Right. All right. So Crisis Times 5 is the next event. This was a...
was that the JLA
story? That was a JLA story, but it was a crisis event that changed the histories because it brought the JSA back. The next one is Identity Crisis. Now, this one is the asterisk, because Identity Crisis did not alter any history or change any universes or anything, but it set the wheels in motion for what we would eventually get to, number 5, which was Infinite Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite Crisis saw the return of certain multiversal characters, like Superman from the Golden Age and certain other characters, Superboy Prime, and other characters came back during the Infinite Crisis. And following the Infinite Crisis, we had the next event, 52, which I'm not counting as a separate event, but 52 came out of Infinite Crisis, which was revealed at the end of that the multiverse is back and there are 52 of them. After that, the 6th event was Final Crisis, where, you know, Batman was killed and Orion was killed and we had Grant Morrison doing crazy things with the universe and we had like 50 Supermen from different universes all working together to save, history or whatever. That was finally wrapped up. So that's 6. So if there's 6 crisis events, then what's the 7th one that they're talking about?
Convergence.
Well, the people who wrote the article that I'm referencing, they think that it's the one that's going on currently, Heroes in Crisis. And their theory is that Hero in Crisis, because of the crisis tag in the name, that by the time we get to the end of it, you'll see it's an actual crisis-level event that will change history. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, then wouldn't it mean this thing takes place in the future?
It's possible. And that maybe have something to do with it. And maybe this may all take place after, Heroes in Crisis concludes. I don't know. But anyway, for whatever reason, the guy that's the King Opal character of Gemworld decides to invade the Earth. So it's a normal day in Metropolis. Superman leaves, and this teenage girl is showing up. Her name is Jenny Hex. Not sure where she came from. Never heard of her before, but she's obviously some Jonah Hex tie-in character. I don't know if she's related to Jonah Hex or she's just Jonah Hex inspired, but she's from Texas. She's got a cowboy hat. She packs a gun.
Well, yeah, because like when she says her name, it's in the Jonah Hex.
Yeah. The lettering, yeah. Again, don't know if she's related or don't know if she's just inspired by it. Could be either one. She gets pulled over by a police officer who's giving her a hard time because she's got a gun with her and stuff like that. About that time, the invasion starts, and she turns out to be a hero because she starts saving people and fighting back. All these characters from Gemworld start attacking, and they start turning things into crystals and gems and whatnot. Well, about that time, Tim Drake Robin shows up, and he is in classic Robin costume, and he looks fantastic. This is the version of Robin I want to see. I don't want to see Robin with no stupid wings. I don't want to see him looking weird or in no Batman costume or nothing like that. This is Tim Drake Robin the way I like Tim Drake Robin. So he comes in. He's doing a pretty good job, but he's kind of overwhelmed. And he runs into Cassie Sandsmark. He says, "Cassie, are you going to help? This is a big fight going on." Cassie's like, "No, I don't do that anymore. You're on your own." "All right, fine, whatever." So he's continuing to fight. The things are still kind of turning against him when suddenly Impulse shows up. "I just happened to be running by. Let's work together." So Impulse is there. Impulse and them are fighting. He makes his Alpha Flight joke that I was talking about. I'm just doing the quick paraphrase of all this. Cassie decides she's going to get involved. She can't watch anymore. And so she comes up and she's throwing some epic level beat down on some of these people that were too big for Robin to handle as just a regular powered human male. He's clearly outmatched by some of these characters. The new character shows up I've never heard of. His name is Teen Lantern. Who is this kid? We don't know anything about him, and we don't by the end of the issue. We have no idea who he is. Where did he get a Green Lantern ring? How is he making constructs? We don't know anything about it. Jenny Hex decides that she can't shoot people with real guns and bullets because that's too lethal. So she goes and gets some.
Did you see they made a joke too about the Teen Lantern?
What about it? Well, I'm sure I did. Which one are you talking about?
It's where they're talking about him. He shows up in that robot suit and she goes, "Who you are, synthetically voiced robot man," or whatever, because he's apparently masking his voice.
Right.
Because of the robot suit.
So Jenny Hex goes and gets a replacement gun. This looks like some kind of 1950s Buck Rogers ray gun
like,
or something.
For a minute, it looked like a booster's weapon from the side until I realized it's like one of those old sci-fi guns.
Right. Yeah, it looks like something off of Flash Gordon or
Johnny Rocket.
Right. So you got all these characters. Some of them are from classic Young Justice. Some of them are new, and they all seem to be fighting together. They seem to be teaming up. They're making a team. And Bart even emphatically yells it, it's Young Justice. We're back. And you know, and Robin's like, "I haven't committed to anything. Don't put my name down on anything." And so they're doing all this fighting, and the next thing you know, they're captured, and Robin is being held captive by somebody in Gemworld named Amethyst. She asks him, "What's he doing in her castle?" And they're in Gemworld, so they got transported over there somehow. And so Impulse is out running around trying to find people when he runs into somebody, and he goes, "You!" And he looks, and it's Connor Kent. It's not Connor Kent the way we last saw him in DC Comics, the blue jean, boot-wearing, black T-shirt Connor Kent. This looks like Superboy from the 90s when he had the little round sunglasses and he had the red pants and the leather jacket. And I was like...
And the moused-up hair.
Yeah. So I'm like, they got some... And that's where the issue ends. "Superboy, I can't believe it's you!" And he said, "When did you start growing a beard?" So that's where it is. So this issue sets up a lot of questions we don't have any answers to. But it's clear that DC is, as I said earlier, making strides to at least address their continuity stuff. I don't know if they're cleaning it up, if they're making it worse. I'm not sure. But now we've got Superboy, and then they need to tell me where he came from. I need to know. And I hope they don't drag it out. Brian Michael Bendis, please don't make it 6 issues before I know. If you don't tell me within the first few pages of the next issue, I'm going to be so mad. So, a lot of DC multiversal fun was had this week. All right, Charlie. Speaking of Superboy and Robin, different ones, though. Talk to us about The Adventures of the Super Sons, number 6.
When I was looking at this cover...
Right.
It says Attack from Tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, looking at that guy, I was like, well, if that's Robin, why does he have blonde hair?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, in the issue, the thing is, Superboy, Jonathan Kent, in...
Which is the son, the biological son of Superman,
for those
that don't know.
And Damian... Who's Robin
currently? The biological son of Batman, for those that don't know.
They've gotten kidnapped by these aliens who are all dressed up like younger versions of villains, right?
Right.
And the main guy, the main alien, he's Lex Luthor. He's dressed up like Lex Luthor. He's like mimicking a young boy version of Lex Luthor.
Right. It's
Lexi. In the power armor suit.
Lexi, if Lexi was like 8 or 10 years old.
Well, he calls himself Lex Jr. anyway. It's him, and he has like set Robin and Superboy on this alien planet, right? They've all crashed on this alien planet. And Jonathan and Damian have faced future versions of themselves. When they come into this one place, they face two versions of themselves who seem like they're them from a point in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, they escape them, and so they're wandering around this alien planet when they meet this other guy. Well, they find this little, like, alien monkey thing, and they befriend the alien monkey thing. Well, then the alien comes in, Lex Jr., he comes in, he's like, "Boy, you heroes, you don't know what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. Once I get off this planet, I'm going to go to your Earth, and I'm going to help your villains become the villains that they should be and defeat the heroes, and I'll be, like, head of everyone," right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "And then I'll be with my idol, Lex Luthor." And then when he doesn't know it, he'll turn around and I'll shoot him in the back, basically, and kill him. And I'll be the smartest, most evil alien, like, creature there ever. Well, when that happens, he gets blasted from the back, and it's like, "What's going on?" Well, this guy comes in. He goes, "Yes, I'm Tommy Tomorrow."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "This is my little alien monkey friend," right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "I've captured this guy's friend." Well, the guy he's captured is Joker Jr.
Ah, yes.
But seeing as he's an alien too, he betrayed Lex because he's like, "Look, we don't have any problems with your Earth. I don't know why Lex does."
Right.
But anyway, this guy named Tommy Tomorrow has captured him, and he decides that he's going to help Connor and Damian for a while. Well, it turns out we know who Tommy Tomorrow is.
We do?
Yes.
Who is it?
He is a boy.
Okay.
One of the, not the first one, you'd say.
Not the first. It was the last one?
Yes.
Is it Commandy?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Commandy grown up, and he actually was an old Kirby creation back in the
70s.
That's Billy Blank grown up. He's become Tommy Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I was like, "That's cool. I didn't know that. I had to actually look that up. I didn't know anything about
it." So is that already established that happened? Yeah. Okay. Though they didn't just do it for this.
No.
Because I didn't know the Commandy story ever went past him just being Commandy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know it goes past that because the Legion is the 31st.
Yeah, but I mean, the Commandy stories never, I just thought they were about him as a boy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they tracked him all the way to adulthood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So his.
Yeah, I know there's a DC future beyond that.
Yeah, his grandfather is Buddy Blank and O-Mac or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. I was like, "That's cool. I didn't know that."
Sweet.
This is kind of a fun little series. It kind of sucks though, because it's a prequel. Well, it's not a prequel, but it's something that has already happened.
Right. To look back.
Yeah, because I don't know what's going on with Jonathan Kent now. But
well, he's gone with Jor-El into outer space.
I thought he came back.
He's due back any time.
I thought he came back.
No, Lois came back, but he didn't.
Okay.
I
thought he came back in Superman or something.
Not somewhere. I don't think I'm an issue behind on that.
Because there's like that picture with like all in like clouds or whatever, and you see the eyes.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I don't think it has happened. I'm not certain. I'll find out for sure.
But yeah.
All right.
It's a good, it's a maxi series, 12 issues, so it's halfway through.
All right. Last book we want to look at tonight is Atomic Robo, Dawn of a New Era. So let me preface real quick by saying Atomic Robo is the book that I've read in the past and have very much enjoyed. And that's why I was kind of excited to see a new series. They do 6-issue miniseries. They don't do a whole big ongoing thing all the time.
I was going to say it's like about the 20th.
Yeah, they've made a lot of these series. And I've missed a lot of them for whatever reason, because I wasn't reading comics for a while or whatever. There's a bunch of these I've missed. But
they've got another offset miniseries called Real Science Adventures.
Something like that, yeah. So, sorry, I'm getting the yawns. I apologize. So, I've always enjoyed these. They're a harebrained science fiction fun kind of steampunk mixed with modern day adventure. It's just super fun. Robo, as they refer to him, Atomic Robo, is the name of a robot creation by Tesla. And he's existed for all these years since Tesla died.
Nikola Tesla, not Elon Musk Tesla.
Yeah. And he's existed. And he's like Indiana Jones, if Indiana Jones was a robot. But at the same time, where Indiana Jones is really smart about artifacts and history, like Atomic Robo was really smart about science and space exploration and nanotechnology and things like that. So they'll send him to do all kinds of crazy things. There's robots that have taken over the pyramids, and we don't know why. Send in Atomic Robo and his team, and he has to go in and fight the robots. Oh, space aliens.
Kind of like Hellboy, but with a science fiction.
Right. Aliens have invaded the Parthenon, going to send in Atomic Robo and his team. And then in the mix of, you know, mixing it up with these bad guys or whoever it is in this particular issue, he'll get into a bunch of trouble. Something horrible will happen. So one time I remember his head got disembodied, and they're carrying his head around, and he's just telling his team what to do. All kinds of crazy things like that happen. But by the end of the story, they always manage to wrap it up, and they come out going, ha, 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 boy, that was a good time. Can't wait till the next one. And it's just, it's lighthearted fare. It's easy reading. It's good fun. That said, this first issue is slow as molasses of this new series. Now, I don't know if they're just doing setup.
Is it written by the same guy?
Yeah, Brian Clevenger, I believe, is the artist guy who does. Let me check. Words by Brian Clevenger and Scott Wagner. We interviewed these guys a long time ago, if you recall, back when this was a brand new title.
Yeah, and we discerned that the artist is
not
like he was more of the comedic writer than the actual
writer. Yeah. So, this first issue, like I said, it's a lot of setup. He's running a science camp now, and these interns have come in who are eventually going to work for Tesla Industries or whatever, Tesla Dyne, I think is what they call their company. And these interns are coming basically to science camp to see what they're good at, what they can do.
Nobody can see that. I shook my head, yeah.
Yeah, Charlie gives me the nod of approval. Yes, it is Tesla Dyne. And these interns are coming in. All of the teachers are gone, though, except for one. So she's got to do all the teaching chores herself. Atomic Robo was walking around with like this computer, like a tower like this that is my computer, a little smaller maybe, tucked under his arm, who's talking to him, and he's teaching him things, like he's just been born or something. And he goes, well, that's why Sir Isaac Newton was actually not just a really good scientist, but he was also a witch. What? He goes, oh, yeah, he was big into necromancy. And so this is the hidden history of Atomic Robo's universe that we don't know anything about. And he said, but he was famous for his mathematical advancements and things more so than his necromancy. And that's why he's only remembered for that. And so they're doing all this stuff. There's another guy who recently, whatever the last miniseries was, had somebody close to him die. And so he's a geologist and he's exploring some underground caverns with this robotic walker thing. Kind of looks like the Mars rover that Atomic Robo created and sent down there with him. But the more isolated he becomes from everybody, the more crazy he's getting. And so, but nothing really interesting happens outside of all this setup. And so at the end of the issue, that's all we really get is setup. And I'm like, if things don't bust loose in the next issue, this is kind of really disappointing. This is kind of like, I've read, like I said, a handful of these. I know there have been like 20, like Charlie said. I've read 4, 5, 6 of these maybe. This so far is like the slowest one I've ever read. So I'm like, come on, Brian and Scott, you guys need to get the lead out here and get this rolling. Remind me why I love Atomic Robo, because it's not this. He's not fighting, you know, zombie Nazis or anything crazy. You know, we need to do something here. So that's, I'm not giving it a bad review. I think it's set up. I think the next issue may be great. I'll let you know. So that was it for my reading this week. Charlie, you have anything else?
Nope.
All right. So that's it. Like I said, try and do a quick show because we've got to come back and do a Bumblebee review for you that you'll see in a few days.
That was mostly all my books.
I didn't read a whole lot either.
It was over half.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the exit on the show, and then we'll close out. You guys, set tight. Alden and Rowdy, the comic book podcast. We'll be right back.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Alden and Rowdy, we're so glad you were with us tonight in this, the last week of regular broadcast before we take another break. We apologize, but we're doing what we can do. But we're going to give you two for one, because we're going to come right back after this and do a Bumblebee movie review, so you don't want to miss that. Look for it in the feed in a couple days, and it should be right there waiting for you. All right, remember all of the Alden and Rowdy related stuff. So we want you to go over to the website. arnetcast.podomatic.com is where you can see this and all the other episodes before this, so you can check them out and listen to them. There's a link over there to go to all our different sites and stuff we have, our Patreon site, our RSS feed. If you want to subscribe to the show, we would love it for you to do that. And download every episode. Don't let it, even if you don't listen to it, download it. Put it in your RSS feed catcher and download it, and you can delete it if you want to. But it makes our numbers look good, so do that if you would. We would appreciate it. So check out the website, arnetcast.podomatic.com. The last 5 minutes of the show is basically how you can do us favors. Hmm. We give you a good show for an hour. Now it's our turn to say, by the way, now you owe us a little something. Okay? So
a little something.
A little something. You know, represent. Come on. AldenRowdyPodcast@gmail.com is our email address. We want you to send us messages or voicemails, audio recordings that you send us to that email address. And we will read and respond or play and respond whatever content you send us on the air and respond to it live on the air. Well, it's probably not live for you who are listening after the fact, but it's live for us as we do the show. So do that. AldenRowdyPodcast@gmail.com. Hey, tell us something. Did you like the show? Did you not like the show? We want to hear from you. We've not heard from anybody in a while now, so we would appreciate that. Of course, you know, the show has not been regular. That makes it harder. So just please do what you can. Charlie, if somebody wants to, they can financially support the show. There is a donate button over on our page that'll take them to our Patreon site. The www.patreon.com/AldenRowdy is where you can go over and become an Alternate Rowdy Patreon supporter. And what Patreon basically does is it causes you to sign up as a subscription giver. In other words, you put in your bank information, your credit card information, whatever you want to put in, PayPal or whatever, and then you become a monthly donator. You know, you donate $3, $10, $20, whatever, a month. I think it may even let you select your own amount. And whatever you want to donate at patreon.com, you can. For that, there are certain things that we're willing to do for you if you would. If you subscribe at the $3 level, that's basically just the basic level. We appreciate it, but we're not going to do anything for you at that level. However, if you subscribe at like the $10 or $20 level, we will read your name on the air and say thank you to you personally. And as time goes, we may, and again, you know, we forgive us. We were going to already be doing this stuff, but we've been out of commission, so we haven't been doing anything. But we intend to have some free giveaways where we give away some stuff, and we intend to have some contests, and we intend to provide some bonus material that only Patreon subscribers have access to. It's not available to everybody else. So we haven't got to that yet because things like surgeries and computer breakdowns have made it impossible, but we are going to do it. So keep your ear to the ground in about a month or so. Maybe you'll start hearing about some of that stuff coming forward. But go over to patreon.com, www.patreon.com/AldenRowdy, and support us over there if you would. We would appreciate it. I think you may even be able to do a one-time donation. Just here's $5. And you don't even have to do the monthly thing. But doing the monthly thing is so much better. Help us out if you would by going over to iTunes. If you listen to the show on iTunes or subscribe via iTunes, then we want you to go over to the iTunes podcast store and look up the Alden and Rowdy, you know, show. And over there, you have the option of writing reviews and rating us. So we want you to please rate us 5 stars. No, nothing less than 5 stars, only 5-star ratings. Rate us 5 stars and write a flowery, beautiful, eloquently written review about how much alternate reality means to you. As you do this, alternate reality's awareness becomes raised in the community. More people will see us. More people will try us. More people will listen to the show. We get more members. We get more Patreon subscribers. It just snowballs. So if you do that for us, it helps us tremendously. Tremendously. Yes, that's a Trump word. Tremendously. Excellent. It's an excellent podcast. It's tremendously.
It's a mummy.
So do that. Go write some nice things about us over on iTunes. That would be great. We know that you want to interact with us through the day. You know, at the work day, I'm sitting there at my workstation. I got a minute or two to hit it up on Twitter once in a while. If you want to chat with me on Twitter while I'm at work or even in the afternoons while I'm home or of an evening before bed, twitter.com/JohnLoveless for me, /XOnslaught for Charlie, or you can catch the show feed at twitter.com/AR, alternate reality, AR_podcast, and be in touch with everything going on with the show. So we're over there on the social network for Twitter. We're also on the Facebook. There's no really way to give you an address for that. So just go over to Facebook and search John Loveless, Kentucky. You should find me. Search Charlie Huffman, Kentucky. You should find Charlie. And if you search Alternate Reality Podcast, you should find it. We're all very, very visible. You should have no trouble finding us. Subscribe and like our page over for the Alternate Reality Podcast, and you'll get alerts whenever new episode content comes out and things like that. And remember, Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. You can check out the network over at Comics with an S, Podcast with an S, that's a double plural, comicspodcast.com to see us over there as well as a bunch of other really cool shows that are highlighted on the Comics Podcast Network. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
Nope.
All right, so that's it. Look for a Bumblebee review out in a couple days. Until next time, and in the meantime, my name's John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're out. You guys have a good night. And we're clear.
Apparently Adam and Comfort's cat's sick. They just lost their oldest one like a couple weeks ago.
That's sad. Usually, like cats.
It'd be just like saying Lucy's sick and her other dog died last week.
And that's sad if you like dogs.
Yeah, we know you have no heart.
I am the Vulcan of animal lovers.
You're just a Vulcan.
Could be.
Are you out of your Vulcan mind?
Could be.
Are you out of your Vulcan mind?
So I've been watching.
That's got to be his best line ever.
So I've been watching Star Trek Enterprise. This got Bakula Star Trek show.
Yeah.
And I never got to watch it back in the day because it came on UPN. And it was a cable channel we didn't get. I catch reruns once in a while on Fox on the weekends or something. They'd have a couple episodes. But you couldn't watch dedicated new episodes because we didn't get the cable channel, which I always thought was stupid of Paramount. I know they had their own channel and stuff, but
it's almost like CBS doing that shit. What's that?
I'm just saying everybody gets CBS because it's broadcast. Not everybody got UPN
because nobody's getting those Star Trek shows. They're not playing those on TV.
Oh, you're talking about the new streaming ones.
Yeah.
Well, and to some degree, you could make the argument that that's stupid for the same.
That is stupid.
Okay. I'm not arguing. You're right. That's exactly right. But I was always aggravated because I didn't get a chance to watch it. So it's been on Netflix forever. And I finished Voyager a while back.
Four seasons of awfulness.
Five, I think.
Oh.
I finished Voyager a while back. But, I'm a dedicated Star Trek fan. I said, here's Star Trek content that I've not seen. How is that possible? So I've sat down and started watching it. And it's really cool. A lot of it's kind of just wonky, and I don't know if it really fits with the rest of the Star Trek series or not. But
it's supposed to be like a generation before Enterprise.
Yeah, something like that. Like maybe 100 or 120 years before it, or something like that. I mean, the Federation is just getting started. this is their first trip out into the cosmos after Zephyr and Cochrane discovers warp drive, right? So, but the thing about it is that they've got a Vulcan science officer similar to Spock, but the level of distrust that exists between humans and Vulcans is off the chart. And every time something goes wrong on that ship, the chief engineer, they call him Trip, he goes, it's the stupid Vulcans what did this to us. They've been holding us back for 100 years. It's all your fault. And then there's T'Pol going, you're acting irrational. And then they get down on that planet, and the pollen of those one plants are like LSD, and they make them hallucinate. So he starts seeing rock monsters and stuff coming out of the ground, and he goes, you're in league with the Vulcans. You're here to kill us all. And he starts just shooting in random directions. It was like, it was pretty cool. But then the last episode I watched, the Andorians came into a Vulcan monastery and accused them of spying on Andoria. And Enterprise gets there and there's a big fight because they think the Andorians are crazy. Come to find out, underneath the monastery, there was actually a big sensor array they were using to spy on the Andorians. So the Vulcans were like really pretty cruddy people back in the day. By the time Spock comes along, they're very much more enlightened. They acted like they were enlightened in those days, but they were really like crummy people, looked down on everybody and was really racist. And I was like, wow. So it's kind of an interesting look at Star Trek before it was Star Trek.
Not to go too off topic, but I was watching the Orville.
Mm-hmm.
In the first episode back this season that they did.
Right.
They did some, I can't remember what it was called, but the Klingon guy. On that show.
Yeah, the Klingon knockoff guy. Okay, yeah.
Well, apparently, like, every 3 years, they have to go back to their planet to pee. So that's, like, what the whole episode... Well, that's not what the whole episode was about, but...
Was he standing around doing the pee-pee dance and stuff?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, they put it as, like, one of those, like, a really big ceremony thing where everyone had to...
Making fun of the Vulcan mating
thing. Yeah. Okay. But it was hilarious, because the one guy goes... Man, I hope it's not going to be a really windy day or whatever, because he's making fun of the fact that he hasn't peed in 3 years.
Right.
But no, like, they go down to his planet, and he's just standing there pissing in front of the whole crew. It's hilarious. That show is funny.
I watched a few episodes of it, but I haven't finished up.
So. It's a good, like, and it's surprising, like, how many Star Trek people are on it.
Really?
Because this last week, the girl who is like Worf, you know, like the smaller girl, she's supposedly like real strong. That's why she's the security officer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she goes back to her home planet.
Right.
And her father's the doctor from Voyager.
Oh, okay.
And Patrick Warburton's on it. And they've got Jason Alexander as a recurring character.
It's cool.
It's a great show.
All right.
I think Riker's directed like the good part of both seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. We're killing time. All right. Back into the show. Main body of the show in 3, 2, 1.